Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing, available on Amazon and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who is a singer-songwriter from Hamilton, Ohio, and is a founding and last surviving member of a wonderful band that has been around since the 90s, and it's by a father and son group, which first got formed. We'll talk about the history of that. And of course, there's been some significant changes to the band. And they've also been heard on the Kiss of a Vampire in 09, featured in Fangora magazine, and also numerous followers on Spotify, YouTube, and more. And of course, this new release is about an older guy who lost everything and trying to start over. And there's a video that you'll recognize two people in there, one from a cartoon, one from a very popular TV series on Paramount featuring Sylvester Stallone. They've also had a numerous of releases like Ghosts of Outlaws, Last Cut, Daddy Done It This Way, and more. But we're going to be talking about the latest release. Let's have a little frisky whiskey with this wonderful gentleman. And live, ladies and gentlemen, in Plus Studios, somewhere in the beautiful United States of America, the amazing singer-songwriter from Hamilton, Ohio, and founding member of Tattoo Billy, ladies and gentlemen, keeping the spirit alive with some frisky whiskey, Ed Begley from Tattoo Billy. Ed, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, Mike.
And it's great to have you on as well, too. So you're a singer-songwriter from Hamilton, Ohio, and founding and last surviving member of Tattoo Billy, which you guys formed in the 90s, and by father and son, Herschel and Herschel Edward Begley. And Herschel passed away in 14, guitarist Rodney in 15, and Gary Little in 21. And you guys have been heard on Kiss of a Vampire in 09. You guys were featured in Fangora magazine, and you have a number of followers on Spotify, YouTube, iHeart, and more. And of course, you have a new release about an older guy which lost everything and starting over. And the video, which by the way stars a couple of people, which is Jonathan Joss from King of the Hill as one of the fine characters. Tell us who this guy is, and also Badface from the Tulsa King. Now I'm sure Sly is really excited about that one. You guys also had Ghosts of Outlaws, Last Cut, Daddy Done It This Way, and more. And before we talk about frisky whiskey and more, Ed, tell us how you first got started.
Well, that is an interesting question. I'm going to shoot something to you I've never done with any other interview. So I think I got started from the womb. So
not a little frisky whiskey, is it?
Yep, there you go. So my great uncle and my great grandfather were best friends with Jimmy Rogers. Come in and he taught my great uncle how to play chords on a guitar. Mm-hmm. And my great uncle taught my great aunt how to play these chords on a guitar, and she taught my dad how to play these chords on the guitar, and he taught me. So that was
a generational thing from the womb to guitar. I like that.
Yeah. And this is the first interview I ever really talked about that. And it's amazing too, because my mom, a great, beautiful lady, but she used to date the drummer for Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot of shaking going on. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of shaking going on all the way down to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was from the start from there. But what got me started to start playing an instrument wasn't my dad or wasn't my mom. I wanted to finally find a girlfriend when I was in high school. Huh. So I was interested in this girl. And she was into bands, and I was like, well, I better learn an instrument. So I picked up the bass. And back then, you know, you're talking late 80s or whatever, and you only had to beat one string, you know what I mean? And heavy metal music back then, boom, 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 boom. And that was it. That's how I got started, you know what I mean? And me and her dated for a while, you know. So it did work. So that's what got me started in the music scene.
How do you like that? From the womb to guitar and today, and what was that one precise moment that simply influenced you into what you're doing for the rest of your career? Not just from the womb, but what was that one light bulb moment that simply said, this is it?
That is a good question. And my whole life in it, it's just like, I really, I don't know. It's just like you get into this and you're in it and you don't know how you got there. And you're just like, next thing you know, you're in a van and you're traveling six different states.
Mm.
And you're like, how in the world did I even? It's a great question, but it's almost a question of how did I do it? How did I wind up here? Next thing you know, we're playing Gatlinburg, we're playing Nashville, and we're down in Georgia, and we're playing like six different straight states in like 2 week time.
Wow.
And it's just like, you wake up, you get out, your back's hurting, and you're like, and that is a good question, because I'm always thinking that, how in the world did I wind up in this kind of a situation? You know what I mean? The industry is just such I don't know how you could put it. It's just a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. Like and up, down, roller coaster, everything like that. Yeah. Back rows, yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
So that is a great question, but it's one of those questions. It's like, I've been trying to answer myself. How did I wind up here? How do I keep doing this? And it's just like Frisky Whiskey, the song. It's just like, I was in a shower. The whole song came to me. I got out. I wrote it in like 9 minutes, and it was supposed to be my last hoorah to the music industry. It's like, I'm coming out. I'm done. This is it. And it, next thing you know, the song takes off 6 months later, and I'm over 100,000 views. I got people want me to play all over the world. And I'm like, I guess I'm not done yet. So, you know,
who said you're done? That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like you get on the bull, you ride it, and, you know. And to me, you know, the whole thing about the industry and what I'm doing now is just to keep what you mentioned earlier alive, to keep my father alive, to keep my cousin alive, to keep, you know, Gary Little alive, these original members of this band. So I feel like if I keep it going, I'm keeping their legacy alive. So it's not as much about me anymore as it is about them, you know, because I look at myself as a one trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
I do one thing. I ride around my voice, and that's all I can do. If you put me on like the these TV shows where these people are singing, and it's like, sing this song. I couldn't do it. But doing what I do, that's what I do. You know, people's like, what do you compare yourself to? What do you compare yourself to as an artist? And I'm like, Iggy Pop. I'm the Iggy Pop of country music. And that's what I look at myself as. I do me. I'm not a great singer. I look at myself as a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I'm not a great singer. I'm not that. I'm that guy, like Iggy Pop. I'm like, what I'm doing, nobody else is doing. If you listen to even Frisky Whiskey, it sounds like nothing else anybody else is doing. It's unique. And to me, that's what music's about, is being unique, being what you are. And that's about it. Just being who you are. And no matter what anybody thinks, don't listen to anybody. Because if I'd have listened to anybody, I'd never done anything where I'm at today. I wouldn't have had a song in the movies. I wouldn't any of the things you mentioned earlier. You know, even I was a prize fighter too. I had Aaron Pryor was my trainer. If I listened to most people, then they'd be like, oh, you'd have got killed. You know, you can't fight. You can't do this. And I did me. I didn't listen to those outside voices. And as a entertainer or athlete or anything, you got to listen to yourself.
Hmm.
So.
I like that. That is a very interesting point. You think, you know, I think about the whole thing with you being the Iggy Pop of country music and some of the other singers. And who are some of your favorite singers and songwriters and musicians growing up?
Well, now if we get into country music,
It can be anything in general. So it doesn't really matter. It can be just anything and anything. So don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, one of them is what I just mentioned, Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Iggy Pop fan. I like what he does. There's a band right now. It's like a, I don't know what you call them, an alternative rock band. They're called Blame My Youth.
Mm-hmm.
They really influenced me. And in the country field, I'd say my favorite country singer is Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, yes. Them Guitar Cadillacs. I love that guy. Got hooked on ever since that song came out. Yes.
Because I sat back before we did this interview, and I'm like, if I'm asked about who my favorite artist and stuff, I got to think about how much money have I spent on an artist. And Dwight Yoakam is anything he puts out, I buy it.
Mm.
So I have to say Dwight Yoakam's one of my favorite artists. I like U2 too. It's one of my favorite bands. I like U2. They've influenced me a lot. But as in songwriting, no. People's like, what I like to listen to, what I just mentioned is stuff I like to listen to. And I listen to a lot of punk rock too. So it's like people look at me like as a, oh, you're a Southern rock artist and you're listening to all this other stuff. But there's other guys out there like in the underground and country music that I like. And it's like Cole Wetzel, Austin Mead, and a guy I know pretty decently is Wade Jennings, and that's Waylon Jennings' grandson.
Yes, I remember that name. I recognize the name Wade Jennings. I remember that, yes.
And he's a great artist, and I met him through a good friend of mine named Mark White, who was a drummer for him, and he drummed for, what was his name? Well, I forget. He's drummed for a lot of big-name artists, you know what I mean? And he's a good friend of mine, and I met him through him drumming for him. And Wade is just an amazing singer and performer. Only thing he needs is to find that right song. Once he finds that right song, that guy is just going to take off.
Right, you know? And of course, he doesn't have to copy his granddad, Waylon, as well, too, just paving the way.
And the other guy I was thinking of was David Allan Coe. He drummed for David Allan Coe for a while. So,
oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites as well, too. And, of course, you know, you've created your own legacy. You brought in a couple of big names for your new video as well, too. You've been on Kiss the Vampire. You also have some other releases with Tattoo Billy. We'll find out more with Ed Bagley. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SonicWave Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. It's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show. Get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those who love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia has garnered great reviews in Evil, Love, and Endures by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forbes, Riley, and Manilis. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, also Apple Music, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Also, check us out on Podbean, Pandora, TuneIn, and more. Take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MiaMolson-Zia for great books like Missing, Once and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMolson-Zia. Check it out today and support the Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and themikewagnershow.com. We're here with the multi-talented singer-songwriter from Hamilton, Ohio, Ed Bagley from Tattoo Billy, here on the Mike Wagner Show. And before we talk about Frisky Whiskey, and let's go back to some releases you guys have done, going from the womb to guitar and forming Tattoo Billy. You had Ghosts of Outlaws, The Last Cut, Daddy Does It This Way, and also Woman, Child, Man of Steel, and more, and a lot of these releases out there. And tell us more about the albums.
Well, most of the ones you mentioned, like one is Not Gonna Break, and that's one my dad was singing. So my dad was the main singer up until he got glioblastoma, brain cancer. He passed away in 2014. But the band had been, it's like you said, he was just such a great singer. So it's hard to put into words, like, I'm coming in and I just don't consider myself a really great singer. People do like my voice, but maybe it's just, that's how people are. They just don't like their own voice. You know what I mean? So
hey,
I was a big fan of my dad.
Mine included myself. I'm going to let that's a little secret. I hate hearing my own voice at times on podcasts. So it's like, you're not the only one. You're in great company with me there, pal.
Okay. But yeah, we were recorded probably 200 songs, you know, and me and dad was like I guess the best you could put it in is like a John, you know, like John and Paul McCartney kind of a songwriting team.
Mm-hmm, McCartney and Lennon, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we had wrote so long, like he'd write half songs, I'd write half songs. So when he passed away, it was just like, you know, I had to get in a frame of mind of writing whole songs again.
Mm-hmm.
I had written so many years of half songs, I was like, how do I write a whole song again? You know what I mean? So the first one I did was Daddy Done It This Way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was Hold On. And it was the last song me and him had wrote together. And it was like, and I went down and I recorded that with a friend of his, a guy named Randy Hayes. And he was the lead guitar player for Keith Whitley. If you remember Keith Whitley, you know what I mean? He was a country artist. And mm-hmm. Passed away when I was in high school. So I went down, I recorded with him. He had a studio down there in Jackson County, Kentucky. And my dad was born down there, you know, in Appalachian Mountains. So that's where all my roots is from. So, you know, I think that's where all my music comes from. It's just down where he was from and those people, you know, my people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I went and it was hard. I went down there and it was like, I intended when I did these songs to be my last songs. And that was Daddy Done It This Way and Hold On. And it's like, these are only my last songs because I'm done with this band. All my members are dead. You know, my cousin Rodney had passed away. My dad had passed away. And then the only one left was my friend Gary Little, who was original guitar player. And then, so I went down and recorded those, and those were supposed to be my last ones. And then next thing you know, Frisky Whiskey came to me. And I was in the shower, which is crazy. And the whole song came to me. I came out, wrote this whole thing down. I was like, okay, I think this song's pretty good. And I wouldn't give up on it. Everybody else gave up on it. And a matter of fact, everybody had gave up on me.
Huh.
And so here I am. I'm just like, everybody has gave up on me after all the band has went away. And I was like, the only people who believed in me anymore was my mom, my wife. And then I met this guy named Matt Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a producer, worked at Rephrase Studios out here in Dayton, Ohio, and had worked with George Clinton and the Pixies and the Breeders and all these big bands. And he says, I believe in what you got. And it was just an emotional moment for me because it's like, I had finally met somebody else outside of my mom or my wife that was like, I believe in your songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, we're getting you in the studio. And we went in the studio. We did Frisky Whiskey, you know. So at that point, I literally gave up. And I was like, okay, well, Frisky Whiskey is going to be my last.
Mm-hmm.
My last single. and then I'm done with music. You know what I mean? And boom, it just took off. First 6 months, it didn't do anything. And then boom, in the last 6 months, it went boom. It's like 106,000-107,000 views right now.
Wow.
And everybody's hitting me up like, hey, we want you to play, want you to play. Well, I got to be honest with you. And I've done a lot of interviews. I didn't even have a band together anymore at this point.
Or, of course, there's AI as well, too. A bunch of doppelgangers. You can get away with that, I'm sure.
Right. So this Saturday, because I've had such an overwhelming wanting to book me, I'm having auditions this Saturday. The Reformed Tattoo Billy and to the original, you know, and back out there and playing these songs. And I just got to thank Matt and my wife, who sings with me, and my mom, these three individuals that still believed in me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That here I am coming back again once I thought my entire career was done. You know what I mean? Because I quit believing in myself. But the Lord didn't quit believing in me. My wife didn't quit believing in me. My mom didn't quit believing in me. And Matt didn't quit believing in me. So it's an amazing ride. That's why I tell people the music industry is just such an amazing, you know what I mean?
Up because and down, roller coaster, right. Uh-huh.
It is a roller coaster. It's like I said, we had songs and movies. We had subsidies to major labels, and Tattoo Billy probably did more to kill its own career than, you know what I mean? And looking back on it, maybe when one major label wanted to sign us and they was like, cut your hair and do this
no.
and change your entire, and we didn't do it because if I pull my hair out right now, it's still there.
Nice. I like that.
I didn't give up. I didn't quit. And we kept our original. And we did wind up signing to an independent label out of Huntington, California, which was, I tell a lot of people, this is a funny story, is that they're like, so how did that go? And I was like, it almost seemed like 6 weeks later, this label folded.
Oh, no.
But it may have been 6 months, you know what I mean? But whatever it was, it felt very short, and we wound up getting a check for like $6. And I got it framed on my wall, you know what I mean? It's like, and I'm one of those guys, I've been 100% honest about my career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make up and try to embellish anything about Tattoo Billy. Most of it has been stuck in what you call the honky-tonks.
Mm-hmm.
What you would call, you know, AKA gun and knife clubs back in. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
These are some rough, rough places. You know what I mean? And I can remember I was in high school and my dad came to me. It's like, you've been playing this rock and roll music. He's like, come join me and you'll at least make a little bit of money. You know what I mean? I'm in high school. It's like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
The first show he has me in is behind chicken wire. And some, you know, over in Indiana. And I'm like, the whole time I'm like, how in the world did I wind up here? And I got to be honest with you, Mike. My whole career is like, how did I wind up here? You know what I mean? From that start of it to be, you know, to this point, I'm like, how did I wind up here? And he had me at one show. This is one thing I wanted to bring up. I was wanting to talk about some stuff I've never talked about in interviews. So I wanted to share them interview.
Have that. We're not behind chicken wire. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So another show we did, they had us there. It was called a Sexy Santa. It was like around Christmas time. It was called a Sexy Santa show. And they booked us for us. You know, so we went there and we started playing and all these girls came out, you know, and lingerie. So we're playing. And mind you, we were like, I wish half these women would put their clothes back on. You know what I mean?
Sounds like the OnlyFans back in the day.
Yeah, we're like, please put your clothes back on. You know what I mean? So we and the other thing I was going to bring up, we played, I think it was four places, And I tell people it's like burning down the house. We played four places that wind up catching on fire and burning down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
I'm sure Great White would have been proud, I'll tell you that.
So one of them was a place called New Dilly's. We played there, and it was like a few weeks later, it wind up burning down. Then we played a place in Hamilton. It was called, I forget the name of it, but it was on a place called Hooven Street. And it was, I'm going to tell you this story. This is, you'll probably like this story. So I'm going to share it. I've never shared it in an interview before. So it was on 666 Hooven Street.
Ooh,
so right
that's
off the
pretty
bat,
evil.
I was like, I don't know about this place. You know what I mean? And it was an older bar from the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
So we were having, I think it was Ghost of Outlaws. They had us in the newspaper. It was the Ghost of Outlaws, you know, CD release party,
uh-huh.
You know, and a number of years ago. So we come in and the guy's like, hey, you're not playing out here. We start setting our equipment up out in the front of the bar. He goes, there's a door back there where the black door is. That's where you guys are going. And we're like, oh, okay. So we go back there, we open it up, and it was like a whole nother bar, couches, and then there's a strip pole in the middle of the stage.
Oh my goodness.
And we're like, okay. So we set up and we start playing, and the night's going pretty good. So close to the end of the night, I got a friend that's came to every show, and he disappears, and he comes back in, and he goes, Ed, the whole bar disappears. It goes into the other side of the bar. And he's like, you're not going to believe this. And I'm like, what? He goes, the barmaid's in there, and she's rolling around on the pool table. She ain't got no underwear on or nothing, just, you know, a dress, you know, short skirt, and she's rolling all over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so the whole entire bar, because I had a friend that was like, Ed, he came to a few shows, and he was like, you guys don't have any girls that follow you guys. We have, like, one girl to every five guys that would come. So the whole band was kind of like a, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe a more male-driven band. Mm-hmm. He was like, are you guys, like, a gay band or something? I was like, no. No, we're not.
Fighting
goes,
words
there,
pal.
Any... Yeah, so he goes, you don't have any girls in your band, you know, that come out and see your band. And I was like, well, I can't help that. So same situation here. We have a, I think that's my dog barking at the door.
Ah, let me look. Okay. You must be a special guest.
Let me look this baby in. Let me look this baby in.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get our special guest
right,
in here
I
on the
got
Mike
me.
Wagner Show. And we're with Ed Begley from Tattoo Billy.
Sorry
and
about that.
Oh, that's okay. Let's bring on our special guest here, and if he's able to come on. So
I just got him out of the room.
Oh, okay. I thought I guess he got a little shy when I announced it, but that's okay. If you want to bring him on at another time, that's fine too. So
So with that situation, you know, everybody disappeared out of our show. They're in the other room. And I just looked around at everybody. I was like, let's break it down. We had like 20 minutes left in the show. And they're like, oh, you're breaking it down? I was like, yeah, we can't compete with that out there. You know what I mean? This girl's like rolling around. She's half naked. And, you know, let's just pack it up and get out of here, you know? So it was kind of funny because we had so many shows that was like crazy weird. Shows like that you people be like, wow, I can't believe, you know, you had a show like that. So it's like we went up to it was up in the place called Washington Courthouse up in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And it was called the Country Connection. It was a truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
And a truck stop slash bar.
Mm.
So we set up to go play in there. So you can imagine, right? The crowd.
Uh-huh.
So it's filled up with what most people would consider, what they call it, lot lizards,
mm-hmm.
prostitutes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
So the whole place is, it was filled up with places like that, you know, and we're like playing and we're like, we started noticing, we didn't know that at first, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? So we, as the night went long, you know, we kind of noticed. This is a different kind of show than when we normally played.
Uh-huh.
And there's one girl out there kept flashing, doing, you know, things like that. And at the end of the night, I guess she went up to my dad. My dad come to me, and I think he was kind of disgusted by what she said too. She goes, that girl just said, hey, have you ever been with a father and son team?
Oh, like, no.
Yeah, and we were like, no, that's never going to happen. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
So at the end of the night, we go up to try to get paid. And then the guy acts like he ain't going to pay us.
Uh-oh.
So we're like, oh, my gosh. You know what I mean? It was just one of those shows. And this, unfortunately, Mike, has been most of my honky-tonk career.
Wow.
Is this guy going to pay me or not? Mm. And he did come off with the money, finally, you know what I mean? And he did book us back. We did come back a couple more times, you know what I mean? So it just was one of those crazy shows that I played over the years. The longest one I ever did, I did a 7-hour show one time. And we got into that, and we're just like, we were pulling songs out of nowhere. It was like we were running out of songs, and we started playing the old, you know, anything out of the key of A. You know what I mean? What did we know out of the key of A? So it was like a whole lot of shaking.
Even Freebird?
Yeah. We ran through everything, and at the end of the night, I had played so long, my fingers had split back open. I had blood just running down my face.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? So that's what I tell people, and they're like, paying dues.
Mm-hmm.
Paying dues and playing music. And I'm like, Lord, have I done it? You know what I mean? When I started off, it was 9 to 2:30 in the morning, and then some of the other shows were beyond that, you know?
Uh-huh.
It was just a tough, tough gig, you know?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Right, yeah. And, of course, I'm sure it had a little Frisky Whiskey in it, too. And, of course, you also attracted a couple of stars. And what made Frisky Whiskey so great? We'll find out just in a minute from Ed Bagley of Tattoo Billy. You listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor of The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Musson's The Missing. We'll be back with singer-songwriter from Hamilton, Ohio, Ed Bagley of Tattoo Billy, after this timeout. We're back with the amazing, multi-talented singer-songwriter from Hamilton, Ohio, Ed Bagley from Tattoo Billy here on the Mike Wagner Show. I mean, what a ride it's been, from the womb to get guitar and all kinds of stories in between. And, of course, Frisky Whiskey will be playing at the end of the audio interview, so we encourage everybody to go to that. And you have a couple of special people that got on the video. And tell us more about that.
Well, Jonathan Joss, he's a Native American. And he was the voice of John Redcorn from the King of the Hill cartoon. And
one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. He's funny. And he's a great actor. I tell you, that guy is just such an amazing talent. And he's in Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone as Bad Face.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Parks and Recreation. What else was he in? Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's been in so many movies and so much stuff. But anyways, he liked the song Frisky Whiskey, and he was like, I want to make a video to that.
Nice.
And I was like, well, man, that's cool. But I was like, I don't have a whole lot of money. He was like, well, don't worry about it. He goes, I want to make this video. You know what I mean? And he just did such a great job. He helped write the storyline. He helped, you know. He did his end down in Texas, and I did my end up here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of mashed it together. And, man, it was fantastic. You know what I mean? Just such a nice guy. So if you ever need anybody to do a music video, look him up, Jonathan Joss. And same way with my producer, you know what I mean, Matt Gracie of Rephrase Studios. You know what I mean? He's worked with some of the biggest artists around, so. If you need help, these people are willing to help you.
And certainly indeed as well, too. And how can people help you out? And where can people find your music at? Frisky Whiskey and a lot more. How can people find you? And what's your website?
Well, I'm pretty much on everything. You know what I mean? Apple iTunes, Spotify. So pretty much if you just type in Tattoo Billy Band, you'll find us on everything.
Okay.
And like I said, but the funny thing is too, with the song in the movie, Kiss of a Vampire, it's another one of those situations you're like, you get to meet so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a lot of guys. You had a guy named Frank DiRusso that was in it. And yeah, the director was a guy named Joe Torrentore. Well, you know, you had a little bit of a, I don't know how you could say it, mafia.
Right, yeah, like mafia, gangster, everything like that, yeah.
Yeah, that was influencing this movie. But they were all very nice guys. But the mob was behind that movie.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I met all these different guys. I didn't realize it. You know, I'm just a hillbilly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys was an editor. Was like, hey, Ed. Because I kept on hearing them talking Sicilian. You know, they was always talking different languages. And you know, I'm like,
and
hey,
just
what's
speak
going
with
on
your
with
hands
this?
Like the Godfather. Why,
yeah.
Don? Why you
so the guy goes, oh, he goes, Ed, because these guys, they're with the, you know, kind of with the mafia, and they're behind this movie, but they're all really nice guys. And they really was. I mean, I had nothing but a pleasant experience with all these individuals, you know what I mean? And the same with the actors, you know, had Matthias Hughes in it. He was in the Die Hard movie. You had Martin mm-hmm. Cove. It was in the Karate Kid movie and the new Cobra Kai series. And so you had all these guys, you know, it was in it, and just really nice. I had nothing but a really pleasant, you know, good time. I never got paid anything.
Mm-hmm. But it's for exposure and for fun and beyond the IMDb
exactly.
database. Yes.
Yes. And it was cool, you know, just to be in that experience. And most of my career has been like that. You know, I've touched, you know, been here musically with some of the, you know, if I tell people, you know what I mean? It's like when my dad passed away, Little Texas sent flowers to his funeral because Del Grey was a fan of my dad's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was in a book with Steve Hoffmeyer, who's the number one artist in South Africa. He has me listed as a celebrity. And I always
I
say
like
it's probably,
that.
Yeah. So it's all, I always say it's probably a disdain or disdain to most South African celebrities are sharing a page with me, but you know what I mean? But a great guy, man. And I tell you what, people say, what is one of your favorite entertainers? And I got to be honest, Steve Hoffmeyer, the South African Afrikaans singer, is one of my favorite entertainers. I've seen him live. This guy is like Elvis Presley.
I like that.
Sings in several different languages, speaks several different languages. He's just an amazing artist. So people's like, when is your favorite artist? He's one of my favorite artists. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And we'll certainly check that out as well, too. And of course,
and he did a country album. He did a country album with a bunch of different country artists, you know, songs he redid, and just amazing. The guy just, it's got one of those voices that fit into anything. So,
and perhaps he'll work with you one day, maybe make a more friskier whiskey. Who knows?
We talked about it. I said, we need to do a punk rock song and call it The Unknown. Is what I called him. You know, both were laughing. That way nobody knew who he was and who I was. You know what I mean?
Oh, that'd be great. If you had him on and keep me up to date, we'd love to have you both on as well, too. We're here with Ed Bickley, Tattoo Billy, here on the Mike Wagner Show, talking about Frisky Whiskey. More, we'll be playing the song at the end of the audio interview. And just a couple more things. What else can we expect from you in 2024 and beyond?
We got a new one about to come out. It's called Back in Country.
Okay.
And it is freaking amazing. It is beyond my own expectations. And I'm like, it's almost like Queen meets country. It's a very different, very unique song. So it's, I'm going to send you, as soon as it's going to be mixed in the next few days. So I'm going to send you a copy of it. And it is freaking, and I'm very hard on myself. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys. This song I'm like, oh my goodness. I listened to it, and I listened to all my stuff in third party.
Uh-huh.
Like, is this really good? Is this really, or is this just me fooling myself?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I
yeah.
can say I'm not fooling myself.
Mm-hmm.
Frisky Whiskey was one I was like, I'm not fooling myself. I listened to that song, and I'm like, this is really a good song. I ain't saying it's the greatest song ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a really good song that if you're just kicking back, listening to it, you're going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can say about Back in Country, it's a masterpiece. So
I am certainly looking forward to it. Yes. And I'm sure Freddie Mercury would be proud on that one. So, yeah.
Yeah. If he was singing country music, he'd be singing this. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I think that would have been a great combination, that one. So we'll definitely have you back on talking more about Back in Country if I'm doing a little Freddie Mercury at trying to. So, he'd have a little
it's
Frisky
different.
Whiskey while I, yeah. Oh, certainly indeed. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
I tell you what, I think about that so much, Mike, that when I was a kid, I used to go down to my grandma's house down in Kentucky, and she had old Vitrola. You remember them old things? You just crank up and you put the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the step up from, you know, the early versions of the old clay, you know, that's what she had.
Oh,
so
wow.
she didn't have any electricity or anything like that. And that's how my dad grew up. That was one of the things too, not to get off subject, was the last time I went and I seen my uncle before he passed away, and he was talking about my dad. He was like, they lived in a cabin, didn't have no electricity. And he said, you could see the stars through the roof. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me cry.
Wow.
How tough my dad had it growing up. Because his mom died 6 weeks after he was born, chopping wood.
Oh, wow.
And so his great aunt raised him. And they said they brought him home in a covered wagon. These are like sounding like pioneer days, you know what I mean? But it wasn't. They brought him over there and she raised him. But anyway, she had she would make quilts, and she'd go in quilting contests and she'd win records.
Nice.
She had such a stack of old records and stuff like that. And she'd have Marty Robbins and she'd have all these. So I'd come down and there was nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd crank up at Vitrola. I put these old records on. I listened to them. So a lot of them was Johnny Cash, you know, Marty Robbins, Carter Family, and all these old people. I'd say that was my earlier influences.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, when you get into my teenage years, none of that stuff was any good. It was all hair bands and this and that. And I just did not fit into any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I had long hair, I wasn't the guy that was going to put on makeup, put on lipstick, and sell out.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I really didn't fit into anything in my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until the internet, like what you're doing now and stuff like that, that I found stuff I like to listen to. And one of them, and today I was like, what's influencing me today? And one of them is a band called Blame My Youth.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. I used to listen to a band called Census Failed. I went several times to see them.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, what did I spend my money on when I was younger and there was no option? It was Dwight Yoakam, one of my favorite artists, and U2 and bands like that, you know what I mean? But nowadays, stuff I listen to is like stuff that's off the wall. I like the Misfits,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a real, people's like, well, you're a Southern rock artist and you're listening to all these punk rock bands and stuff like that. And it's like, that's what I listen to. But I listen to the country artists too, you
mm-hmm.
know? And just like I said, when I was a fighter, when I was a boxer, I listened to a lot of rap too. That's what was being played in the gym. So,
oh, going round and round. I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was influenced by a lot of different stuff. And it's like I fought as an amateur out of Winton Terrace. And they always played like Biggie and Down South Hustlers. And so I think, you know, where I was at, I don't know. Where I was at there, it was that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So when I was a boxer, that's what I was influenced by. I was down there, I was listening to Big E, I was listening to Tupac, I was listening to Down South Hustlers, I was listening to rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm down there in the gym, and that's what I'm fighting to, that's what I'm going out to. I was the only white guy in the gym and went in terrace, you know. And then when I turned pro, I had Aaron Pryor, who was a junior welterweight champion of the world, you know, who was my trainer. He trained me for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole influence was black influence. People, you know, my identity, my trainer at Winton Terrace was like, this is my son, Ed Begley. And people would be like, this is your son? They'd be like, you know, because here's this white dude and this black guy's introducing me as my son. But he was like my father too. And I introduced him as my father. So it was, you know, it's very strange. Like I said, my whole thing was I think it all influenced my music.
Mm-hmm. Just having those different roads of what you did and everything else. I think that's a really unique road. I got to say that. Very unique more than anything else. And also one more thing. What's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Don't listen to anybody. Listen to yourself. Because everybody's going to tell you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if listen to yourself, if you really, and be honest about yourself and about your music. It's like mm-hmm. with Frisky Whiskey. Is it a good song? It is a good song. Am I a great singer? No. I'm honest about that too. Am I a great performer? Yes. I'm like the Iggy Pop of country music. So listen to yourself. Never give up on yourself and don't listen to anybody else. But the other thing is, never put yourself. I've seen so many people over the years that the music industry can destroy you too.
True.
So take it in good measure. Never put yourself so far out that you will. I've known so many people, Mike, over the years that have unfortunately did their self in or whatever over the music industry and never let it get you to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you and work your regular job, do your regular thing, and don't live in a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Put God first, put Jesus first, and that's the main thing. And what mm-hmm. you do, if you do those things, it will turn out. Like I said, I'm 51 years old. Frisky Whiskey's been up for so many video awards and independent industry and stuff like that. And is it great? Yes. But you know what? In the end, that stuff don't matter to me. What matters to me is my family and taking care of my family and whatever comes, whatever God blesses me, I'll accept. But I'm not selling out and I'm not doing anything that I don't know what you would put it. Anything that's not being to my own moral feeling.
I think I understand what you're saying. That's a really good point as well, too. And we're here with Ed Begley of Tattoo Billy of Frisky Whiskey here on the Mike Wagner Show. And Ed, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Really love your stories. You. Looking forward to having you in soon. And keep us updated. We're going to say one more thing, Billy. Or Ed, I mean.
Yeah, I go by Billy, too.
Okay.
That's funny because that's one of the things. When we started off, people were like, I was the only guy who had tattoos in the band, as you mm-hmm. can see. And people's like, hey, Billy. And I didn't know they were talking to me. And I was like, then my dad was like, roll with it.
There you go.
I accepted the moniker of being Tattoo Billy, much like Eddie was with Iron Maiden. They're my, you know, their mascot. I became the mascot of Tattoo Billy. And now that I'm the last living member of Tattoo Billy, I am Tattoo Billy. So I always respond to it. But last words is, like I said, put God first, live good, and all things will fall in favor to you.
And
no matter how small.
And definitely as well, too. And of course, a big thank you for your time. As always, looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love having you back. And once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out your music?
Just type in Tattoo Billy Band and your Google search, and it pops up all kinds of stuff. So that's the best way. And look us up on YouTube, Tattoo Billy Band, sub. Look up our video, our new one, Frisky Whiskey, and get ready for our new one, Back in Country. And it's going to probably have Jonathan Joss in it, too, if all things work out.
All right. We'll certainly check it out with the King of the Hill. Once again, Ed, a very big thank you for your time on Tattoo Billy. Looking forward to having it soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love having you back. Wish you all the best. And Ed, you definitely have a great future, have you?
Thank you for having me, Mike.